We have with us today Dr. James B. Huntington, author of Work's New Age and Choosing a Lasting Career for Work's New Age, talking about the jobs and the economy. Dr. Huntington, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Good morning, listeners.
And if you have any questions about what we're talking about in the economy while we're doing that, that's fine. If you have something related and we haven't brought it up, don't hesitate to call in at 946-0435. I usually wait until the end of this to mention it, but the turtle took a step forward.
Indeed, he did. Yes, he did. The turtle was a lot happier this month than he has been for 6 months or so.
Now, explain what the reference to what the turtle is here, because we're about to talk about the American job shortage number.
Yes, the AJSN is a measure which tells us how many new positions could be quickly filled if everyone knew they were as easy to get as a six-pack. I put that together every month and publicize it. And this past month, I'm talking about February's jobs data, it was down over 500,000. That's a good thing. Low numbers are good because low numbers mean lower latent demand for work. This is really a response to all these numbers people come up with to tell us what the real unemployment rate or something is. This isn't an unemployment rate, but it tells us how many more positions, other than the ones advertised, could be quickly filled if people knew they were out there.
Or if they wanted to get them, or if circumstances allowed, which is another thing that's figured into this later, right?
Yes.
So the numbers, let's go back to that and start on this again here. Latent demand down 564,000 to 21.2 million. Otherwise indifferent with coronavirus progress, that's fine. Is this better or worse than you thought it was going to do?
Well, it was about the same, really. I knew that there were more jobs than a month before. I was happy to see the gain on this and that we did okay in other positions because clearly as a nation we were working on the pandemic more than we were working on bringing back jobs, which is the right thing because if we get rid of the pandemic, we're going to increase jobs right there pretty much automatically. And we did have a start in that direction, which was good, and the coronavirus numbers were especially superb from mid-January to mid-February.
I don't know if it's too early because of the vaccine to think about that or whether it's just people's actions that are contributing toward it getting better or that it was winter.
Oh, it's both. It's both. During that time, the number of new cases, number of average daily deaths, number of people hospitalized, all went down a great deal. And there are really two factors going when you talk about bringing back jobs from the pandemic. One of them is the number of positions that can be supported by people who are bringing back the situations with the jobs, with not the jobs, but with employers wanting to hire people. And the other thing is how many customers they have. There are a lot of people who, even if things are totally open, will not want to go out. I mean, I really want very limited part of, say, a sit-down restaurant right now, even though they're open in our area. And my business will come back when I'm fully vaccinated. So there's a connection with the vaccine. And it's a lot more people were vaccinated over the past month, and the 7-day average of vaccinations has more than doubled between mid-January and mid-February, and the cumulative numbers are, well, now they're over 20% with one dose and over 10% with all they need. So as those things improve, the jobs will improve automatically. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised. Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but they will be quite pleased in businesses around the country how much between the vaccinations, between the general fading of the virus, and between the savings people have. A lot of people are just saving those stimulus checks and such things. A lot of people have done quite well, and a ton of that money is just going to get spent later this year. So we're looking ahead to a real boom in business later this year.
Yeah, you had said before you expect everything to come roaring back when it's open, when it's safe to be open, right?
Yes, it is more gradual. It isn't necessarily a sudden thing, and we're still not quite up to a quarter of Americans have even one dose yet in them. But we're about 2 million, we're giving out about 2 million doses a day. I read more things today about how the vaccine makers are producing more and more. We're going to have so many, so nobody should worry about us giving a few million doses to Canada and Mexico, because we're probably within a month of having all the vaccine doses we need.
Well,
for everyone in this country who wants them.
Yeah, the having the doses is one thing, the distribution is another, and that's dependent upon the states doing that. Pennsylvania is somewhere around 44th in getting them out to people. So I don't have any great confidence in the folks in Harrisburg, but I could have predicted that beforehand. Where's New York on that? I could look it up, but...
I think it's a lot higher. It would depend on exactly when the numbers were taken, because within this month, March, a lot of college arenas and such things are being used as bulk vaccination centers. People are getting notices. These places have 10 or 20 stations where people can get vaccinated continuously. The appointments are 10 or 15 minutes. It's going all day. So it's opened up a great deal in this state. Not to mention, of course, some of us are quite happy because I was right in the group that was authorized on March 8th, actually. People who are between 60 and 64 and don't have any of the serious underlying conditions, they authorized me, and I grabbed one appointment 100 miles away and ended up canceling it a few days later when one of these centers, I got word, opened up 30 miles from me, and they had appointments so quickly that I've already had one of my doses. So April 15th will be my second dose. It's actually the Moderna. And April 29th, 2 weeks later, don't forget that. You're not immediately good to go when you get the second dose. You need to wait 2 weeks. So April 29th is going to be my COVID freedom day, where I will continue to wear masks and be polite and that sort of thing, but I'm free, for example, to travel to any place that will take me with my vaccination certificate.
I just looked it up. New York is 48th place. 48th.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And Pennsylvania is 44.
I'm inclined to think it's better than that now, or maybe it's an indication of how well the other states are doing. Maybe it's an indication of how many people are limited. There are states out there where any adult can get one.
Yeah, I know that, admittedly, I want to see those that are most at risk get it first. They were talking about people over 65
really,
first.
That has been covered nationwide, really.
Yeah.
That is just about over. There are a few obnoxious states that won't let, say, grocery clerks get it, which is absolutely wrong.
Which is dumb since they've been frontline.
They are forward-facing. They are putting themselves at risk. They should have been really in one of the first, maybe the first group of people having it. But besides that, yes, it could be. I mean, if you're a healthy 55-year-old in New York right now, you cannot get it. And that may account for why the state has such a low ranking. But these things are falling into place daily. Every day there are changes.
Yeah.
Biden wanted everything to be wide open by May 1st. It looked like an aggressive thing to try for when he said it. But within about a week, it seems like, hey, we can really do this. This might just happen. We're within reach. And you know, if everyone's not authorized until May 7th or something, that's still a big improvement over what we would have thought two or 3 months ago. It seems to me, in general, the manufacturers are making them, the people in these vaccine centers are giving them out, and people are taking them.
Well, yeah. The top states, by the way, number one is South Dakota, then Rhode Island, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Maine, Nebraska, and Iowa is 10th. And the bottom 10, well, since it's close, let's say New Jersey, they're 39. 40 is Georgia. West Virginia and D.C. are tied at 41. Then Oregon, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, New York State, Alabama, Hawaii. And this figure comes from the CDC. So just so we're clear where we're getting that from.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess I'd rather know that New York is 48th after my experience, which was quite positive, than find out New York was 5th and that most of the country was way behind it. So that's a good sign. We had real problems in December and January, and we reached all-time highs. I think it was actually January 9th. We'll go down in the record as the worst day of the pandemic for 7-day averages of deaths. And
I know a guy who lives in New York City, had to go through, and he's more computer literate than most people his age, I would say, and he had some access to all that stuff, but it took him an incredible amount of time to go through all the questions on the website, and he was thinking, you know, somebody who is slightly older than him that has no idea of how these forms or the stuff works, he gave them no hope of being able to navigate through it. And it's not like you can just go down to the library and somebody will stand over your shoulder and tell you how to do it, for obvious reasons. And several times they would schedule him and with like hours left, we don't have any of the vaccine, don't come. And he finally got his first dose after daily getting on the computer and trying to schedule it daily for over, I'd say, 2 months.
Well, let's hope that's doing better now, put it that way. I think it is.
Hope, yeah.
Everything here, I mean, within New York State, not New York City, they would only give you possible appointment times if they were assured of having the vaccine. They wouldn't make you do what he went through. And
yeah.
A lot of it has been not done well, but we're seeing a lot of improvement, and I really think that 95% plus of people who want to have the vaccine in this country will have it by the 4th of July.
Just to finish up here on the AJSN, since I sidetracked us on this, two measures of how common it is for Americans to be working or one step away, labor force participation rate and the employment population ratio both gained 0.1% respectively, 61.4 and 57.6. What were those figures about a year ago, pre-pandemic? Do you know?
Yes. Well, over the past month before the pandemic, they were around 65 and 62.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like that much of a difference. But
I mean, they did not improve much in general. That's why I said indifferent. This jobs report was not all that great. We did get better. We got 379,000 new positions, which was one of the best things happening. Unemployment was down 0.1%, but really this stuff is all interconnected, and I'm looking for 500,000 to 1 million new jobs added when I read the March data on April 2nd.
And the final line again, the turtle feels a lot better and accordingly managed a full step forward. The metaphorical turtle that you use in this to our
job
progress.
Market is always a turtle. It's never very fast over time. So, but he was happy. Obviously, he's had a bad year.
He's been walking backwards
really
for a while.
Going forward.
Yeah, been walking backwards for a while.
Yes. And one time somebody picked him up and carried him backwards, and he didn't like that too well.
Well, neither would I. But anyhow, so that's where we are with the AJSN, and we'll when we do the podcast now are on WRTA.com, but we put the links on our Facebook page. All the links of anything we talk about, including the AJSN and the next article that we want to get to from the Works New Age blog spot that Dr. Huntington does, will be on the podcast itself, so you can click that. Even if you don't want to play the entire podcast, you can find the links there as well. We'll continue. And if you have any questions, 946-0435.
Where Blair County's best ideas are talked about. Let's hear yours. 946-0435. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
The weather is unpredictable in central PA, but one thing that does not change is Altoona First's commitment to building relationships with families and businesses and seeing our community prosper. Hi, I am Troy Campbell, President and CEO of Altoona First Savings Bank. The past year has been challenging and has highlighted the value of community. You have pushed forward, meeting the needs of friends, neighbors, and strangers. It is true, light shines most brightly in darkness, and you continue to shine brightly. We are proud of you, our community, and we invite you to bank local. Bank better, bank Altoona First.
Hello, class. This past year has taken its toll on all of us, but let's get a fresh start. Now, inhale. That's it. Breathe deeply and envision how you want things to go in 2021.
Great idea. And when you're finished doing that, don't forget to visit Herbal Equipment and Distribution. Herbal Equipment and Distribution is your go-to place for CBD products, kratom, loosely teas, hemp topicals.
Now, let's take a moment to light some incense.
Thanks for the reminder. Herbal Equipment and Distribution also has a variety of incense, along with nectar collectors and a large selection of both American and import glass accessories.
Class, wait. We're not finished. Where are you going?
Yes, they're going to Herbal Equipment and Distribution with two convenient locations, 222 West Plank Road, Altoona, and 5523 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Tyrone. Or, if you're busy, shop online at herbalequipment.com. Oh, and remember one more thing. Breathe.
We do all we can to ensure our kids are happy, healthy, safe, and strong. Having high-quality, low-cost health insurance helps make that possible. With CHIP, your child can have medical, dental, eye care, and more for free or low cost. Whether you're self-employed, unemployed, or your employer benefits are just too expensive, CHIP is there for you to help your child be strong. CHIP Strong. Apply or renew today at 800-986-KIDS or go to chipcoverspakids.com.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Your opinions on sports. Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Weekdays at 3 on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. It's the 11th hour. Doug Herendeen and Dr. James B. Huntington, who's the author of Works New Age and the Works New Age Blogspot, which you can read through these stories that we discuss in the AJSN anytime you wish online here. One thing that I wanted to carry over from the last segment there that we sort of got into, and I like hearing the idea that you're feeling is that we're going to come back, roaring back, but not everybody, not at the same time, because there are a lot of people that have been able to, in some way, shape, or form, work for home, and these are, you know, higher-paying jobs, perhaps, in different tech organizations or clerical or whatever, and they're able to do that. But to the average person who had to go into work every day and do some type of labor, whether it's be wait staff or whether it's be a chef, whether it be an office worker, a lot of those people lost their jobs. And I don't care, we gave them all this stimulus. It's like, it doesn't make up for losing an entire year of pay. And a lot of them are messing around trying to find something, whether it's DoorDash or Uber or anything, to make up for that. They're not going to be able to come roaring back.
Well, they will be in good shape when they get hired at permanent jobs, when they come back in large numbers. They will be in bad financial shape. They may need to find a way to start over. They may need to declare bankruptcy, which is a better idea once you've been rehired and you're bottoming out, you've bottomed out, than it is while you're still unemployed. There has been a great deal of suffering. There's no getting around that. But they have better, they will have much better lives in several months than they do now.
Yeah, except will the job that they had be there to hire them back? How many businesses, small businesses especially, which are the backbone of the country, would you agree?
Yes, well, that's been a problem, is that small businesses, at least in the early stimulus, weren't getting anything. Now they are. I understand they are. There are real chunks of money. They should get it. I don't know anything about the mechanics of that. And I know people can apply for that sort of thing. But if they do, go out of business, a lot of them will be replaced by new ones. It certainly looks like a good opportunity to me to start a restaurant in a place that lost most of their restaurants once the pandemic is really over, once people are vaccinated and wanting to spend money. It would be a great business opportunity. So some of them will be the same. Some of them will be old ones restarted by new owners. Some of them will be old ones restarted by the same owners. Some of them will be brand new. There will be more ideas. But in a year, there's every reason for a similar amount of, say, restaurants or bars as there were before the pandemic to be around. It may take a little while, but it's a great business opportunity.
I've heard, I don't know how many differing views on that, where it's going to take either 3 years or 6 years, depending upon which talking head I've seen on TV, on the networks, saying, it'll take that long before we get back to where we were, let alone to surpassing it.
No, I don't see that. I see it being much quicker. Businesses are faster on their feet. New businesses don't take 3 to 6 years to start. Hiring people, there will be a great deal of hiring. Of course, there will be more churn and more fluctuation. There will be people who don't know as much as they should when they get into businesses and they don't make it and they wind up laying off all their workers and so on. But no, I see no reason why it should be anything like 3 to 6 years. And right now, there is a lot of opportunity for them to plan, to figure things out. This is what's going to happen in the next several months is on a map right in front of us. We're almost certain, barring some disaster, and one common disaster scenario, which is a new strain of COVID defying the vaccines.
Yeah, the variants.
Simply hasn't happened. That has just not happened. There's nothing. There's really no significant evidence that that is happening. So unless we get some unusual disaster, we will be in very good shape by midsummer and great shape by fall. Plus, there's all this money. Do you know what share? I don't have a number of what percentage of the stimulus payments were being saved, but a great deal of people are just socking them away because they don't need them right now. They're not spending very much. They have enough to cover their lives and such, but that's going to change, and that is going to be a strong driver of business success.
Yeah, well, again, except for the people that they needed to spend that right away on food or
a lot of people don't. Those people will be helped by being hired. They will be in demand. I mean, if a number of restaurants actually active and in business becomes half again what it was 6 months ago, and those restaurants are allowed to serve more and more customers, then there's going to be a great market out there for waiters, dishwashers, bussers, managers, all those people.
And also in the retail sector, I would imagine there's more than a few that have been laid off. Because they're operating
quite similar. If you have experience, a decent work record as a cashier, you're probably going to get hired as soon as the places come around. They need you. You have the skills. They want these people back.
The thing that I would hate to be in a position like that where I would just take anything, it would be nice to say, okay, my situation is lousy as it is. But I can be lousier for another couple of weeks while I make sure that I get in with somebody who's going to treat me decently, as opposed to, say, the last time maybe you were working someplace that wasn't all that fantastic, even pre-COVID, maybe you're a little pickier. But I think there's going to be so many people that are up against the wall with bills and back payments and everything else that they're just going to take the first thing that comes along, which I guess maybe that's some of the churn you're talking about, too.
That'll happen also. These people may ditch their jobs if they turn out to be poor quality or they don't like their employers or work situations. They're going to be able to go someplace else. I mean, remember those stories many decades ago how people in Silicon Valley could just go to another office in a lunch hour and get hired.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you're going to have with a lot of humble but well-needed jobs that have been killed by the pandemic, and they're coming back.
Well, I wish that they would be able to get that type of money for the type of jobs that they'll be having available to them. Of course, that's not practical. But
well, you know, wages and benefits may go up because the demand for people in a number of positions could really outstrip the number of people who are wanting to work them.
Especially if they still don't feel comfortable going out in public and working.
Yes. Well, workers may be in positions to require some things they didn't have before, especially, for example, health insurance. But and that the employers will have to deal with that. I don't have any sympathy for employers who are unwilling to pay market rates for employees. And the market rates for some of these things may turn out to be quite a bit higher than they were a year ago or a year and a half ago.
11 brutal truths on office design and working from home. What's the overview on this, Doctor?
Well, to start, the business world has often seemed to discover old things somehow and think they're new and act as if they're new and not learn anything from how well they worked or didn't previously. I've found the most extreme case of this, or certainly one of the most extreme, is the combination two areas of how offices are designed and how much people are allowed to work from home. There are a lot of things that have been rediscovered and rediscovered in these areas, which are actually quite old. We've had offices for hundreds of years, of course, and we're over 30 years now for people or businesses and discussing and doing things to let people work at home. That may not seem like a long time to some of us, but there are all kinds of workers with good jobs who weren't alive the first time this cycle went through.
Yeah, by the way, I just have to throw in one line here in case you don't mention it. Offices were around before the days of Bob Cratchit's perch in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Think about that. It's true.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was an example. That was a business office. There probably aren't too many of those in this area of the world now, though there might be elsewhere, but it gives you an idea of how far back they go. So I put together some things in my various experience. I worked for a long time in what was called a cubicle job for several different companies in the 80s, 90s, and aughts, and saw a lot of these things come and go. With AT&T, mostly in the 90s, I had a ringside seat for the changes they thought would solve everything and how well they did or didn't. And put that and the knowledge and my master's and PhD work on this and related things. And generally having an interest in the issue, especially of working at home and how what people reacted, things that have happened. There were a few new articles about this. Situations have changed back to another old standard on these two. And put together, I have different things.
Well, it says first here, some employees, especially those with the tendency to underwork in the office, will ease up more if they're at home. While many do better there, it does not make sense that people with trouble focusing on an environment designed for productivity turn into hard workers when they're placed on their own.
Yes, well, that's been a distraction for managers who rediscover people working from home, and they find a few people who are diligent and internally motivated enough to say there's an improvement, if only from not having the commute. But it's an obvious truth that there will not be, that will not be the case for everyone. And you have offices that are set up to allow people to concentrate, and at home you have all kinds of distractions, and not to mention family members and such, that will cut down your productivity. I mean, so many times at AT&T I would see people work from home, and it was clear to me anyway they were really not doing very much, and they were certainly not setting themselves up as if they were in an office. I had people tell me not to call them when they were at home, and these are people with no children. I had people with children, you'd call their so-called business line and a child would answer the phone. I'd call at 2 p.m. and I would be told that so-and-so telecommuter was taking a late lunch. I'd called somebody who was apparently perfectly highly regarded at 9:45, not even a real break time, but I mean obviously a middle of the morning sort of time, and she sounded clearly like she was working out on an exercise bike or something like that. Couldn't talk very well, and no doubt there are just so many of these experiences, and yet the party line always was people are more productive when they work at home. So I know some are. Some will certainly tell you they are, especially those who have bogeys or requirements or numbers they need to achieve, production sorts of things, or even they have deadlines on something that are reasonably aggressive. If those kind of people can do them better at home, that's great, but your normal wide open sort of loosey-goosey cubicle worker is often going to have problems.
You know,
and as I mentioned in the next case, yeah, here, the when you have a management who has sort of a judge not lest you be judged attitude on individual employee motivation and productivity and focus and such, you get the people who are the least desirable away from any supervision, wanting to work from home more than anyone else. And it's just all you have to do is to be a human being to be suspicious, to wonder if they're really working better or more at home. A lot of them that I knew had really nothing to show for their time at home. If you think they were working for 8 hours a day, I think I could have a bridge to sell you.
Well, you know, the thing is interesting because in a lot of the high-tech, high-paid Silicon Valley jobs, you have a situation where they expect you to almost live in the corporate headquarters working, but you're not going to work in a linear fashion. You may work for an hour and a half on something and say, I'm going to go to the gym. I do my thinking when I'm down there. And then you go down and do it. As long as you produce, they're not going to care. You stop
That's
producing,
right.
They won't care how long you sit at your desk.
Yes, that is fine, as long as they are aware of which people are producing more than other people, and they're aware of how much gets done, that is fine, whether at home or in one of these enhanced workplaces.
Some people, but it comes down to who is self-motivated and who is not. I'll give you an example.
Well, who will really produce,
right,
when nobody's watching them?
I'll give you an example. At a station I used to work at many moons ago, we had some just house of fire salespeople, and we needed a few more. We hired this guy, and he's in for most of the first day, and he was going to do a territory in our south. So we don't see him again until Friday, and it's like, oh, do we hire another one of these, you know, where he comes in and drops off 13 yearly contracts worth hundreds of thousands of dollars after 1 week. But we didn't see him for most of the week, and that's how he worked. He was out. He was talking to people as opposed to sitting behind a desk calling them. So,
well, that sounds to me very close to sales. And sales is another position where you really shouldn't care where or how your salespeople are working. If they all there, the proof of how well they're doing will be in how much they sell, how much they come forward with, and that's
But the thing is
the kind of thing where working from home or anywhere, or the corner bar, or or a beach in Hawaii,
we've known a few people that their office was the corner bar when they'd be called. But the point was, if salespeople
can make their numbers, exceed their numbers, and so on, then you shouldn't be worried at all about how they're working. Cubicle jobs are not like that.
Yeah, it's just the same factor worked into that as far as how management and everybody else was starting to look at it. Out of sight, out of mind, well, what can they be doing? And then they come back with proof that they were doing quite a bit. I suppose that is something that, whether it's somebody going out in sales or whether it's somebody doing a certain amount of work, in the modern era, if you're sitting there working remotely on computer, I'm sure that the boss is going to be able to look at what you have accomplished in that day. And if it comes in spurts of like, oh, here's a whole pile of it, then nothing for a couple hours, and then here's another whole pile of it, and you did more than everybody else, guess what? Who cares?
Yes, exactly. That's certainly true. It's generally true, though to a lesser extent, for jobs in offices where the supervisor is not around, especially if the workers are high level.
We're getting up against a break here, so we'll see. Yeah, we've only gotten through two of these. Well, we'll see what we can get through next on the 11th hour.
The opinions you hear on WRTA are the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or advertisers.
It's amazing what we're asked to share online.
Online yoga needs our last 2 years of tax returns.
Hey, if we upload our passports, we get extra bacon at the buffet.
Sweet.
It's not that you try to be unsafe.
So I gave your birth date for free parking.
That's how I got this robe.
But every time you give up info and privacy...
I'm sure the site's fine, Mom. They just need a picture of your driver's license.
You may have to give up a little safety, too.
Enter address for free tater tots. It's tot time.
Norton 360 with LifeLock helps keep your digital life safer. With device security, a VPN to keep your Wi-Fi activity private, and identity theft protection, all in one.
Mom, what's your 401k number?
Opt in to cyber safety. Save 25% or more off your first year of Norton 360 with LifeLock at norton.com/join. That's 25% off at norton.com/join.
Youth sports builds character, strength, and a desire to be better. Young boys and girls stepping onto the field or court are eager to do well and should be acknowledged when they do. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA is proud to announce the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week. To make a nomination, just email your child's name, age, and town with his or her accomplishment, big or small, to YSSOW2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112. We'll then announce the winner of the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star throughout the week. Show that young competitor that hard work and their best effort does come with rewards. And watch with excitement when they hear their name announced on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA and receive their award. Special thanks to Shields Trophy on Union Avenue, Altoona. Email YSSOW2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112. It's the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week.
Breaking news and stimulating conversation.
We get to find out whether that's the truth or not.
Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
You deserve a lot of credit.
The 11th hour, Doug Herendeen, Dr. James B. Huntington, and we're talking about 11 brutal truths on office design and working from home. We're not going to get to all of them since we've only gotten through two here. The third one I wanted to touch on and then pick whatever we have time left here. Zoom backgrounds have been criticized because it shows where somebody lives and maybe somebody else has a fancier background than somebody else. Is this really a thing? Is this that much of a culture where people are paying attention to that garbage as opposed to, hey, we're trying to get some work done?
Yeah. Well, it was a funny juxtaposition to me when we are so concerned about inequality. People do not have the same resources. People do not have the same opportunities. People do not have the same money. And then Zoom gets criticized. Zoom, of course, is the online thing with a camera in front of you where you can see your coworkers in a bunch of rectangles, Brady Bunch style, with different people, and they get yours. You can see, of course, not only their faces, but often what's behind them. So it was strange to me. You know, they criticized Zoom for making it possible to suss out or at least guess at somebody's prosperity level or other things by seeing what's behind them, information to which they're not entitled. But I don't hear that as being, I don't hear it being a real problem that people don't have the same setup. Some people will have a room, a guest bedroom or an office or something where they can set up everything and be great. But some will be in smaller quarters with children around and such things and distractions. And there's not really enough paying attention to that when people make a choice for working at home.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been watching any of the talk shows over the past year, for crying out loud, some of the blank walls behind celebrities, I mean, they're being replaced now where there's like, okay, I'm getting more savvy about where to put the camera, what angle we want to do it, how we want to have the lighting behind us. Because, of course, this is what these people do. They present themselves, they market themselves, and they're learning to do it better.
TV cameramen are incredibly good at that sort of thing,
but now
Zoom people logging into Zoom or not.
Yeah, but the thing is, when it all started, most of the celebrities were sitting in front of a blank wall, and that's all you really need.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got somebody who's sitting there churning out 15 reports a day for me, and they've got a white wall behind them, or it's trying to focus out the window, or it's a little fuzzy. That's like blaming the Alexander Graham Bell because you had somebody that used to write fantastic literature for your publishing company, and now you have the telephone, and boy, I don't like Mark Twain's voice. I don't know if I want to buy any more of their books. That's about as dumb.
An old line about having a face for radio.
Yes, which we've all heard a million times. But
yes.
I mean, I wonder if it's some of the coworkers that would be more of the judgy types than the boss, especially since the boss knows who's really carrying their weight and who isn't.
Right, exactly.
We have just a couple minutes here. What do you want to pick as the last thing and go over
that?
Well,
let's hit something on office design, where there's a pendulum has swung back and forth between cubicles to desks in open rooms and back again without seeming a lot of understanding about how successful or unsuccessful those arrangements are. Cubicles have been out of style, but here's a fine example of rediscovering. It's like there was a company that invented focus pods that resembled three-sided restaurant booths and could be made higher so they're more like an enclosed booth experience. Well, guess what that used to be called?
A cubicle.
You got it. And they're not willing to research the good and bad things about cubicles, which I think are probably about the best office arrangement because they offer a lot of privacy and quiet and you can get to your coworkers who are physically there after only a short walk. But at AT&T, for example, they saved money by cutting down the size of them. They got the open work area bug and took the walls off, which meant that everything seemed like really a desk in a crowded room. And they discovered those things didn't work and went back to cubicles. And all of this really should be in the business literature, but no one seems to be looking.
Yeah, the other thing that, and you sort of discussed it in some of these, about people who are spending, businesses that are spending a lot of money on the space that they are leasing, renting, or building to have people work there. And if they're not going to work there, they're wasting a lot of space and money.
Yes, well, before the pandemic, there was a big movement toward getting people to work in offices. IBM, which had slobbered all over the idea of people working from home 9 years before, declared in 2017 that all their IT employees would either A, work in the office all the time, or B, leave the company.
Management has to try whatever the latest thing is that somebody else tried, but they have no idea of why they tried it or if it worked.
I think we need business historians to have jobs and research things like this, and before they mess up lives and spend who knows what on office things, to do some due diligence on how successful they were in the past, because they're back there.
Dr. James B. Huntington, author of Work's New Age, and we'll have a podcast up later. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, listeners.